Up next, a fascinating topic, a brand new book entitled Disentangle, When You've Lost Yourself in Someone Else. We're going to learn more about that as we welcome to the program author Nancy L. Johnston. Nancy, thank you so much for being with us today.
It is wonderful. I say hello from Virginia to Maine.
How are things in Virginia today?
They are calm and quiet so far. Who knows, the hurricane, Laura, will probably be coming through here with heavy rain on Saturday.
All right, well, we wish you the best in dealing with all of that. This book is so very interesting, and it applies to so many people. Well, let's start with that. Who are some of the people who could benefit from the information in Disentangle?
Right. Rich, you know, the work started, it's based out of what I say is alcoholic family systems. It started through my own personal work, probably 25 years ago, and then quickly wove my mental health clients' work into it. And in an alcoholic family system, we are challenged to how to help or what to do with a person who's drinking is a problem for everyone. And so I was particularly interested in the family member angle of things and what the family members could do to either find, to not lose themselves, there comes my phrase so quickly, in trying to help or fix in that specific scenario, the alcoholic. As I've worked with it and taught this material over these 25 years, I've seen how it can apply to being careful. Let me bring the listeners on board. We're trying to keep a healthy balance in care of self and care of others, in helping others with their lives and making sure we're taking care of ourselves as we go along. So I think, Rich, it can apply when we're parenting, when we are caregiving, say a family member who has a chronic illness, when we're caregiving aging parents, when we are working and trying to be pleasing and successful and trying to also keep a good balance of things for our own health and our own centeredness. So I think it expands well into situations where if we're living with the addiction, certainly, of someone else, and if we're living in situations where we really want to try to get out of them because maybe there is even abuse going on within that situation. So it applies broadly because the main theme is that trying to keep that balance of not losing self as we are involving and engaging ourselves with the other person.
So how do you know? What are some signs that some emotional distance is needed?
So what my work is about and the book is about is helping the individual learn to listen to those signs within themselves. So I will be clear that the work is really trying to wake them up, wake ourselves up. And so let me, you know, some quick examples. What we want to do is listen to our thoughts, feelings, body and spirit, something in all of those areas. So if I am grumbling to myself about, I really didn't want to be on this committee, I don't know how come I have to go out tonight, I didn't want to have to do this again, or if we are feeling really exhausted or irritated, the 12-step programs use the word resentful, resentments come up. If our body is starting to not be well, if it is starting to be fatigued, if it is not resting well, I'm just throwing out an example in each of these areas, and or if our gut feeling is saying, you know, I really need to say no next time. That's a good example to give. So our thoughts, feelings, body, and spirit are all speaking to us if we will really honor them, pause and honor them, and start listening to their warning signs.
Are people who have a need for control more prone to getting over-involved and preoccupied in these relationships?
Rich, control is a really great word to bring into our conversation, and I think we will find it crops up. Yes, and it's interesting. As I said, I've been on this journey myself over these years, and I remember reading Robin Norwood's book. It's called Women Who Love Too Much, When You Keep Wishing and Hoping He'll Change. I read that book in the late 1980s. And number 5 on her list says that we are trying to manage and control other people. I was appalled. I had no idea the extent to which my control issues were playing in. Because many of us, it's coming from a good place sometimes. We do want to help, or we may have the really good idea. We may have the best idea if we want to push it out that far. We may see, you know, think we see what that other person can't see. So it starts there. But yes, as we progress, I call it on a continuum. As I progress from, you know, wanting to help down that continuum, the control stuff can crop up, and I can want the person to respond to me in a certain way, or to certainly follow through with something I've suggested. Now, when we're talking about our children, that's its own category. But when we're talking adult to adult, we do have to pay attention to if we're trying to control what we cannot control.
We're talking with Nancy L. Johnston about her book, Disentangle. And this doesn't happen instantly. It's a process. As you mentioned, it takes time. And do you begin by creating some space, what you call a buffer zone?
Yes, it is a process. Thank you for highlighting that. Just simply, the book is just full of suggested treatment tools, and then they do require us revisiting them and relearning them and taking... We're trying to change habits, is what I would say in part, Rich. We may be the first ones to raise our hand or volunteer or to step forward. Let's use that common example. And so, yeah, now I'll get to the second part of your question. So if I'm usually the one to say, I'll do it, and then I go home and I'm mad with myself because I've signed up for something else and I really don't even have the time to do it, we do want to notice that impulse within us to do what we habitually do and really develop an internal skill set to pause. I have pause, slow down, stop in several essays in the book. That's the buffer zone you're asking about. And it won't happen without me saying, let me think about that. So again, a concrete example I give, I tell people that if someone calls you and asks you to do something, whether you are wanting to say yes or no immediately, I say, tell them, let me think about it and I'll get back with you. So that then you can step away and really assess, is this something I do want to do? Okay, and how would it work out if I do? Is this something I really want to say no to? Okay, how am I going to say no? Because that's its own set of assignments. But that buffer zone is one we create for ourselves to honor ourselves and to tune in to self.
When it comes to parenting and the effort to disentangle and create that distance, obviously it's a judgment call. It depends on the age of the child. But what are some signs that you should look for that might tell you it's time to create some space?
Right. I have worked with teenagers for many decades and totally enjoy working with them. So I would say that as our children, and I've raised a child too, as our children, when they're young, we are very much responsible for being engaged and supervising and guiding and teaching. As they become older, I show this by two intersecting circles that slowly start sliding apart. And as they slide apart, the center, the part where they intersect is the shared, in this case, parent-teenager part. And the outside edges that don't intersect are self. And we're wanting to help our children develop a sense of self. They already have one. We actually just want to encourage and get to know that sense of self. And as teens, they especially are working on two important developmental tasks, identity and independence. And so I would say that, I say this often, as they get older, what we want to do is, instead of being as direct, if we notice that we're saying, well, why don't you study tonight after dinner? We're telling them what to do, and we notice that they've got their hackles up already or some attitude is there. What we want to start doing is noticing that interaction and in engaging their thinking more and saying, so what are your plans for studying tonight? When, you know, what's going to work for you?
Right.
And in the doing that, we're empowering them more to develop their sense of self and taking you know, less responsibility for the managing and controlling their lives. I often think another warning sign is if we feel like we're reeling off a bunch of good ideas, here I'm back to we're trying to be helpful and we know, and we can tell that they're not listening or walked away or whatever is the nonverbal. That's a warning sign, and I cannot say enough for listening to teens, that they do want to be heard, and that it doesn't mean we have to agree, but we really want to hear what they have to say. And that's what we want in our adult-to-adult relationships too, Rich. That's the picture of the balance, where I'm not trying to tell my partner what they should be doing. We want to really hear from the other person and truly listen to what it is they have to say and what they're thinking and feeling.
And part of that empowerment, too, means the risk of failure, and you've got to be willing to let those people fail, whether it's a child or in any kind of relationship. But, of course, we want to make sure it's a failure they can recover from.
Exactly. No, I would definitely say when we're in these parenting questions that we take it situation by situation. You know, I wouldn't throw out any markers like at certain age, just, you know, let them take, you know, do it on their own or whatever. I think we do take it situation by situation, and helping them in advance to understand how we see the consequence, either how we see the consequences. If you do not get that assignment in, you really are going to be stuck with that zero. This was your second opportunity to rewrite that paper. So please remember how that zero is going to affect your grade. And we may even help to think it all the way out and how that may affect, you know, whether they pass the course. And then we, in that case, if they're junior in high school, we probably have to step back and see what they choose to do with that.
In the midst of this pandemic, many of us have been, well, cooped up with family members for a long time now, and that can also bring on the need to disentangle. How do we manage to do that, even if we're in a healthy relationship or even a healthy parent-child relationship, but when you've been around each other and few other people for months, what are the signs within the household that it's time to perhaps just move to a different room and stop engaging?
Yes, no, I'm just, you know, smiling. It's a very common question I'm asked, and it's so interesting, Rich, because this book, this is the second edition of this book, and different things have happened that it ended up being released right now at the pandemic time, and it's ended up being a fortuitous thing.
Yes.
Because those are important questions. So I have two things I really like to highlight about that. Please do things that, even if you only have 5 minutes to go sit out on the porch or in your own space, if you can start your day that way, to look at the calendar. Some people have said we don't even know what day it is. And so really orient yourself to the day, to the week, to what other, you know, dates may be around there. Take some breaths, maybe have a meditation you like to do. Tune into one or two things that are important to you in that day to get done. This is where control is coming in. So we're looking for the smaller things that we can control. So maybe a phone call to a friend in the middle of a lot of other stuff is something really important to you. And so you're trying to help create some structure and some space for you. And I notice, Rich, I am talking really small. I know everybody is running from teaching the kids to going to do their own work. I am really proposing the little 5-minute spaces to stop and reconnect and recommit to self. Recommit to self for the, you know, for the next 12 hours, so to speak. The other thing I would say is it's related, is that I'm now calling it celebrate together and honor separate. So if we are, when we are together, this is probably not the time to bring out complicated issues that we can't resolve today. If we can simply sit at the table and enjoy the meal, or sit and watch the Netflix movie together, sit out on the porch, walk around the block together, do things that are just present moment and being glad that we are together. The other side of that same coin is to honor separate. So if people are gone, have gone to their room or to their corner, clearly either saying they need to do some work or clearly just trying to retreat, do anything we possibly can to honor that space as we would like our own space to be honored as well.
Wonderful advice. There's so much more in the book, Disentangle, When You've Lost Yourself in Someone Else. Nancy L. Johnston, the author. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Rich, thanks for having me. Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Nancy L. Johnston here on Downtown.